All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of the afternoon show is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. You've got to try the 99 Restaurants' new $14.99 Big Deal Meals, four hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday, like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin. You got to love the nines.
Next game coming up is against the San Francisco 49ers. Coach Mayo today reaffirmed that you're going to be starting. Was there any doubt after Drake May came into the game? Was there any doubt in your mind that you'd start? No?
No.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
No. Said it twice in case I didn't hear him the first time.
Well, he was right.
He was right. Now,
is there any doubt you'll be starting against the Dolphins when you return to Gillette Stadium?
Yeah, well, different question, isn't it?
Yep. And there should be. People are making fun of me in the Twitch chat for asking fashion-related questions when I'm a visor guy. Hey, I got a nice new visor on today.
Yeah, I know.
It's my prediction.
It's really popping.
Was my prediction for the season, number of wins.
There you go.
I ordered it in advance, and unfortunately, it was out of date.
There was a caller on the line that wanted to yell at me for being too harsh to Jacoby Brissett, and he hung up before we came back from break, but I was dying to take it, because I don't know what I said. I don't know what I said that was harsh. I didn't think I was harsh.
I did not actually think you were harsh. I think sometimes you can be harsh. Right?
Sometimes, yes.
I think that interview was an example of that.
I asked Mac Jones if he had the yips once.
That was great.
I think that was fair.
He's like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, he's like, well, what are the yips? And then I had to explain what the yips are.
He knew.
Which,
he
by the
absolutely
way, I didn't explain it very well. I was like, it's like when a second baseman can't throw the ball to first. They're like, you're missing easy putts and stuff. And he's like, yeah, it's not a real thing. It's worth.
No, it is a real thing.
It definitely
it's absolutely
is.
A real
and
thing.
And he had it.
Yeah, and you had it. Yeah. And my guess is you knew exactly what he was talking about.
Definitely. He's a tennis player. You get tennis play, you play tennis with the yips. You're going to be.
Tennis brat.
Yeah.
You don't say player. We say brat after tennis when it's described.
We always say that.
Yes. For him. Not all tennis players are brats. But I think in retrospect, looking at what he was on the football field, he was a tennis brat, and there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. As we move into the 4 o'clock hour here, we were going to get to that Jonathan Jones piece, but real quick, anything stand out to you talking to Jacoby there?
No. I mean, that was interesting, but I also think expected. I mean, I actually wonder, like, have they had conversations? The first month is yours, and then we'll take it from there. Any of that stuff with Alex Van Pelt or Gerard Mayo? I mean, it was interesting him talking about tiptoeing around the fact that the line stinks, I guess.
Yep.
You know, what we can all
he's
do.
He's not going to do it. You know he's not going to do that.
No. And that's, I didn't ask him to necessarily, because Gerard Mayo has been pretty adamant that the line sucked on Thursday night. He said it post-game. He's kind of continued to say it. Now, he does it in conjunction with his belief that they were so dominant the first couple weeks and back into training camp, which I don't agree with. We've gone back since day one. To call that day one effort when Ramondre Stevenson had 118 of 120 yards after contact and Jacoby Brissett was pressured on 50% of his dropbacks and had to run for his life, to say they dominated the line of scrimmage is just not factually accurate from week one.
No. Everybody, they won a game. Everyone was excited.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean...
People were just talking. It was just a thing.
But that doesn't mean you just ignore, whistle past the graveyard. In fact, a lot of classic coaches That's when they coach harder, right? Like that reverse psychology. Okay, you guys think you had a 100-yard rusher and you think you did. Well, let's put this tape on and see what actually happened. You got your ass kicked. You got your ass kicked. And we're lucky we won. Yep. And if this keeps happening, we'll probably get our ass kicked 2 weeks from now on Thursday Night Football in New York. And what happened? They did.
They did. They certainly did. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a minute. There is a piece on ESPN Plus from, I think, Friday. Dan Graziano talking about the 2024 NFL trade deadline, top candidates to move, and potential team fits. Jeez. You go around. There's Buda Baker. Hassan Reddick, obviously, is one of them. DJ Jones with the Broncos. Zach Wilson, some quarterbacks. Bryce Young. Russell Wilson. Deontay Johnson. Devontae Adams, guys like that. And then in the defensive back category next to Buda Baker is our good friend who we just talked to, Jonathan Jones, and it says this. Patriots have looked a bit more competitive than expected so far. It's a nice way of putting it. But they certainly could fade, and if so, Jones is a player teams were circling in the offseason. Those seeking a corner kick the tires once again, as Jones has 11 tackles this season and is only 2 years removed from a four-pick season. Potential landing spot? Atlanta Falcons. A.J. Terrell is a star. Falcons could still stand to upgrade the spot opposite him. Atlanta 19th in interception rate. The Chiefs, Ravens, and Steelers would all love to add Jones, too. The we talked about that. There was an article in SB Nation, I think, before the season that we talked about that had Jonathan Jones as a potential guy on that list as well. Basically, what they do is they go down the list and look at all the bad teams or guys who were holding out and the best players on the bad teams. And Jonathan Jones is considered one of those. He's also a guy whose contract is going to be up. He's an older player, not necessarily a piece that they're looking to build around for the future. And that is not shocking to me to see him on a list like this. Is that a path the Patriots could go down this year?
Could they? Sure. Should they? Probably. Will they? I don't know how they can after Elliot Wolf's adamant comments to Andrew Callahan in the Boston Herald, which crapped all over the idea of tanking. And sure. I know you can rationalize anything, but I'm sorry. If you trade arguably one of your best defensive players in the middle of the season, you're not trying to win.
I mean, you traded one of your best defensive players before the season started.
Yes. Yes, so, and said
so
this.
Already, it's like,
I don't know if that falls in line with, quote, I think tanking cheats the game. We would never get in a situation where we think that's the right way to go, Wolf said. That's not what the NFL is all about. That's not what professional football is all about. And that's not what we're going to be about.
Okay, but they already did it. So it's like, you know, they've already started the process of tanking. First, you trade your good players in the preseason or guys who are holding out. You trade them for picks. That's part of the tank. That's usually how it begins. You start trading the only good players on your team for draft picks. Then you suck. And then you get to the offseason and you unload the rest of the guy, or you go to the trade deadline and you trade him at the deadline at week 8 or whatever it is. And that's how the tanking process goes. So they've already done like
half of it,
a third or a half of the tank. They just have to get the ball over the goal line, basically.
Now, you know me. I would trade Jonathan Jones, and too soon, maybe. We just got off the phone with him less than a half hour ago. And
I like him. He's a good player. That's why we're even talking about him, because he has trade value.
And Jonathan, I'd trade you to somebody better. I'd do you the solid of
not
trading
hard
you
to do
like,
at this point.
Like no. I mean better than Atlanta.
Okay.
I'd trade you to someplace like Kansas City or San Francisco, someplace where I can try to get you a ring.
Chiefs and Ravens both interested.
So Chiefs and Ravens. I'll trade you to one of those teams so I can get you a ring. But the reality is, you're in the last year of your contract, and we're in the first year of a second rebuild, or whatever the hell you want to call this, the fifth year of a first rebuild. And draft picks matter. No offense. You're probably not part of the future. Marcus Jones,
right.
Christian Gonzalez, they're part of the future. Even Duggar and Peppers, you probably are not, based on the timeline of your career. And we could use, I mean, could you get a third-round pick for him? He's still a pretty good corner. And especially if somebody gets an injury between now and then, some desperate team.
Absolutely. I think you could get a second for him.
Okay. Let's say the Chiefs lose McDuffie, who is their best corner, one of the better corners in football. That's a Super Bowl contender. Might they say, oh, shoot, McDuffie tore his ACL. Let's go get Jonathan Jones from New England. He's
100%.
Available.
Yeah.
So I would consider it, but when you're so adamant about doing things that look like you're not trying to win or look like you're acquiring assets because you're trying to lose, like, that flies in the face of what you say. And that's why I would never say these things. So,
right.
So remember when what's-his-name got to Detroit, Bob Quinn from the Patriots, and he said, we will never have a player that's involved in domestic violence. And like the next day, some player was involved. And
didn't
it was
know
like,
that, but no.
Well, I mean, maybe not. Like, don't say those things so definitively, right? Like, conditions on the ground can change. Things, there's layers. Like,
that's kind of why I don't really care that Elliott Wolf said that. Like, you know, you can say that.
Well, but
what
why
are you going to go out there and be like, yeah, we're going to tank?
Why say it? No. You don't have to say we're going to
tank. You want to posture in the other direction.
You
like, we're
going
to be good. We're not going
to do what's in the best interest of the football team at all times.
I mean, yeah.
And sometimes that is malleable, right? What is in the best interest of the football teams. I watched Bill do that for years, blah, blah, blah. But
Mayo said they were going to come out and burn cash, which they only did on their own players. So, I mean, you know, everybody says things.
Well,
no one's actually doing what they're saying.
To be fair, they signed Christian Barmore, and he's not playing this year, so that's kind of burning
cash.
That
is burning cash. That's true. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Jim is up in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, first-time caller, long-time listener. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, Jim.
I just had a question, something they were talking about earlier about Bill Belichick, where he might go. Even though I live in New Hampshire, I am a Cleveland Browns fan, and they're not playing well. Is there any chance Stefanski would step down and Belichick go to Cleveland?
I don't think Stefanski would step down.
No.
He'd get fired. I mean,
and I don't think
happened.
Bill would go to Cleveland.
I think he'd go to Cleveland if that opened up.
Deshaun Watson? He wants to deal with that fiasco?
I mean, I don't think that he's in a position to turn down offers at this point.
I do. I mean, oh, he's going to have offers.
You think so?
Yeah, I more believe that now than ever.
He had one this past offseason.
Yeah,
I know. He's a year older.
I think this little thing that he's doing is kind of working. And I think these other owners will probably realize, listen, all coaches are a pain in the ass on some level. I might as well have a pain in the ass that can win, a pain in the ass that people
that
still
we're
think
we're only
going to
have for a year or two max, even if he's good.
That's why he's going to Dallas or places with talent. That's a debacle. Cleveland's a debacle.
Cleveland's a debacle. It's true. They have a good defense,
but they have a quarterback making whatever his cap numbers are the biggest in history, and there's another one coming. Like, there's another cap number coming of guaranteed money for Deshaun Watson if you're trying to.
It's ridiculous.
So that's not fixable for Bill. That's not a place where he can win quickly or maybe even win at all with the way that's going. So, and I think he hates the city of Cleveland, doesn't he? Weren't they really, really, really mean to him?
I remember they were hanging an effigy after that. Maybe not, but that was a long time ago, too. It was 30 years ago. So
you
maybe
get over that? I wouldn't, and I don't think he does.
I don't know.
Do you think he gets over grudges?
I think he had a much bigger grudge with the Jets than he did with the Cleveland Browns.
I'm not so sure about that, because I think the Jets, it was with the Jets themselves, and that has all changed. It's a whole new organization and regime. He probably hates the city of Cleveland. I would.
I've never heard him say that, but he probably does. Yeah.
Well, I don't know that he would actually say, I hate the city, but there's people living there that I'm sure are relatives of people that made his life hell back in the day.
Yeah, who probably
regret. Or maybe the same people.
I bet those people in Cleveland regret having done that and would have rather Belichick stayed there and been the coach of the Browns for 20 years.
Well,
in retrospect, so I think it probably won't be the same kind of attitude.
But the Browns didn't stay for 20 years, and they didn't fire him. Modell did.
That's true. And they moved to Baltimore right after that.
Right.
Ray is in Revere. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, guys, I recognize they're not calling this a tank, but let me just give you a couple observations, okay?
Okay.
Between the offensive line coach, the offensive coordinator, the head coach, and the GM, collectively, have 0 years of experience in their jobs before starting the season. And then, you know, if you look at the three highest paid positions in football, quarterback, left tackle, and wide receiver, the Patriots are dead last in spending at those positions. You know, if they really wanted to give us an entertaining product, they needed to spend money at those positions. And
this kind
of leads me to my observation.
Wait. This year, though? Like, so who would have made your season great this year where they would have spent?
Well, I think if they had Ridley. I can't give you a left tackle. I just don't follow the sport close
there
enough, but I want
one.
A real left tackle.
Tyron Smith was there out there.
One.
I could have signed him.
He's not a real left tackle. He's 107. He's hurt, and he wasn't coming here.
Okay, but he's playing for the Jets. So.
No, but these are fictional dreams.
There were many other better players at quarterback, too. But let me just make this point, guys.
Ooh.
There's no entertainment value to this team right now, other than wanting to see Drake May, which I don't think is worth seeing because I don't think the development and injury risk is worth it, nor watching him play with terrible players.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're probably right. I think that this is an offense that through 4 or 5, maybe even more than that, years of poor drafts in offensive positions, mostly skill positions, I'd say, but other places too, has produced this. I mean, this is what you have. You haven't drafted much at tackle on the interior. You've drafted a bunch of guys, but a lot of them have just sort of come and gone. You had a quarterback flame out. You've had big, high swings and misses at wide receiver in the first and second round recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a bleep show. I mean, it's really not been good. Like, you've left the cupboard bare there at positions that in the past, even with Brady being the almighty fixer of everything, you know, and no matter what was wrong, Tom Brady come in and fix it. You had draft picks at certain positions that you could count on, that you could count on to be there for 5 years or 4 year, whatever it is, on their rookie contracts and contribute. And then when you wanted to extend them, you could, because they weren't league leaders or anything like that, but they were good enough. You know, mm-hmm. They were guys that were good. Sebastian Vollmer, guys like that. They weren't great, but they were good enough, and you kept them around, and you had that going, and you just haven't had drafts like that recently at any of the positions the caller just mentioned. At wide receiver, on the offensive line, it's been terrible, and at quarterback, you whiffed there too on Mac Jones, and we'll see what you did with Drake May, but in general, I'd say it's been, the biggest problem has been the drafts, not spending money.
Right, because people love to throw out the spending money idea, but like, who? You have to fill in the blank of who you would have spent. Now, Ridley's one that you could say, he would be their number one receiver.
Yep.
Now, I still think they get shellacked on Thursday night.
They probably do, yeah.
You know,
they might have a touchdown.
The Seahawks game, can you say he makes a difference there? Like,
I think so.
But with how bad the line has been, I don't know. You know, the one difference is some of those routes you're throwing to KJ Osborne, are those being thrown to Ridley? And
right.
Does he do a little more? Does he actually catch it?
Or Tyquan Thornton or whoever else. Yeah, he's a playmaker.
He's a fine player. I think he's overrated.
He had two touchdowns in that last, whatever that game was. But was, you know.
I think he's overrated as a playmaker personally. But that's an answer. Left tackle, we've talked about it. There weren't a lot of options out there. And some of the star players, like Saquon Barkley, I would have dreamed of.
Mm-hmm.
You think Saquon Barkley was coming here?
Probably,
I don't think
not.
There's a shot in hell.
If you'd really overspent, then maybe.
Like,
I think
stupidly
that's
overspent.
Where you are, yeah.
Like, probably double what anybody else is offering.
The suck tax.
Yes, and you need to get yourself back to that level where when you're going after these people, they are willing to come at sort of, you're still going to have to overpay because that's free agency.
Right.
But they're willing to, like Tyron Smith, in 2 years from now, if you need a left tackle, Tyron Smith might have been an option. Like, if Drake May is now established and you get her, he's like, yeah, I'll go play for a young quarterback, whatever. But right now, you were so bad that I don't think any of the options were going to come here. And the ones that would, the one I keep going back to is Jonah Williams. I'll say it 1,000 times.
Yep.
Go
Who's
get a left
hurt
tackle.
Right now, but
Who's
yeah,
hurt,
he's a
but
guy,
whatever.
He might not have got hurt here.
He might not have got hurt here.
Right.
And he's a left tackle.
Yeah.
You didn't address left tackle in any form or fashion. At least they signed KJ Osborne. At least they drafted Jalen Polk. They're both receivers, right? They're not good, but they're receivers. You didn't address left tackle in any form or fashion. Everything you addressed was a projection. Oh, I can move this guy, or this young guy will develop into one. You didn't do that. But, and then the other thing is, with the Ridley one, I probably would have done it. But I think you may like the idea this spring that they didn't do it with the amount of money they have to spend. Because I'll ask you very simply, T. Higgins or Calvin Ridley?
I'd rather have T. Higgins, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's
going to
be...
Although Ridley's having a good year. I mean, you know, we'll see. I don't know
fine.
If I'll think that at the end
he's
of the year.
He's fine. I just don't think he's anything
well,
special.
Well, Higgins isn't playing, so I mean, you know, like...
Yeah, but I don't know why he's not playing.
Because he's hurt.
Is he?
If either he's hurt or he's being a prima donna, either way, I don't know that would have played well in New England.
They're all prima donnas at that position.
I guess.
That's the reality of it, right? CeeDee Lamb just got like $1 billion and he's like fighting with, you know, Brandon Ayuk. Like, they're all prima donnas. You got to take the good, take the bad, and pull the plug as, you know, when the time comes.
In the last 5 years, and we'll do this after the break, in the last 5 years, the Patriots drafts on offense have been miserable. I mean, really miserable. We'll get to those in just a second.
What about Ramondre Stevenson?
We'll get to that. I mean, they haven't been all bad, but for the most part, they've been very, very bad. We'll get to all of that along with, yes, very, very bad. Along with the fact that it seems like, despite what Jonathan Jones told us, the good vibes in the locker room don't seem to really be hanging around too much. And that seemed like a big part of not only what went into that win week one, but also in the aftermath of it. It seemed like there was a real culture shift, and I'm afraid that the culture may have shifted back to the bad part. So we'll get to that. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls as well. And first, here's Stiz to tell us what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up with what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox took both games of their doubleheader against Minnesota yesterday. They beat the Twins 8-1 in the first game, 9-3
in the second.
Yeah,
that's your guy. You want to give him
$100 million? Well, Andy, I don't know if he meant to be. Did you mean to be on mic?
Nope. Oh, we're talking about Calvin Ridley. He had one catch for 9 yards. That's the guy Arkan wants to hand $100 million to.
Sorry, Stiz, as you were.
Glad I didn't swear.
Yes, me as well. Tristan Casas hit three home runs, two of which were three-run homers. Casas becomes the first Red Sox to hit three homers in a game since Trevor Story did it back in May of 2022 against the Mariners. Sox have six more games left in the regular season. They're four games behind in that final wild card spot. They'll begin a three-game series with the Blue Jays tonight. First pitch at 7:07 across Shaw's, the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Our coverage begins at 6:07 with the MassMutual pregame show. Week 3 of the NFL wraps up tonight. The Bills taking on the Jags at 7:30. You can catch that game right here on WEEI AM. Our Westwood One coverage begins at 7:15. And the Bengals will be taking on the Commanders. That game kicks off at 8:15. Patriots, they'll be in San Francisco on Sunday for their Week 3 tilt against the 49ers. Kickoff at 4:05. Gerard Mayo told the Greg Hill Show earlier today, Jacoby Brissett will be the starting quarterback. Jacoby Brissett was just on the afternoon show with us, and after taking some big hits during the loss to the Jets, how's he feeling?
Physically fine. You know, obviously took hits, but, you know, it's football, so I'm hurting like, I guess, everybody in the league is getting hit, so just ready to go to the next one.
Ready to go. And the Bruins lost their preseason opener 3-2 to the Rangers yesterday afternoon. The Bruins will host the Capitals tomorrow night. Puck drops at 7 p.m. from Causeway Street. Trending brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take strokes off your game by taking pounds off your frame with Awaken 180. The course record might be only 40 pounds away. There's just one way to find out. Visit Awaken180WeightLoss.com. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Coming up.
Now, more of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Is there a way you can help the offensive line be better? Are there things you can do as a quarterback to physically, mentally call? Like, is there any way you can help those guys do their job when they're struggling like they are?
Yeah, I don't think it's just one group. I mean, I think it's a collective group. I mean, I know it's maybe it's route detail, or is it me getting to a different read at a certain time, or and things like that. So I think we all as a group can play a part in helping, you know, obviously the protection and the timing of our passing game and things like that. So think, as I know for a fact, you know, we went to the meeting today and we were talking about ways and to help improve that from a different.
Jacoby Brissett with us a little while ago in the 345. If you missed any of that, by the way, it'll be up on the Odyssey.com app, WEEI.com as well. I wasn't kidding when I said the last 5 years of drafts on the offensive side of the ball have been miserable. Let's not count this one since we don't know it's all going to shake out yet this year. But starting in 2018, Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel, that draft. Michel was productive for you, but, you know, there's a lot of other guys you could have had there. Absolutely, he was.
He had one little postseason run where he followed 46 to pay dirt.
And that was the last Super Bowl you ever won. So, yeah. You know,
that was all about 46.
I remember that fondly. Sony.
You could have followed James Devlin through that postseason.
Maybe. But I thought Sony Michel did pretty well in doing that. And he had a decent career. It wasn't great, but he had a decent little career for you there. Other than that, you had Braxton Berrios, who didn't last, Danny Etling. Ryan Izzo, you know, nothing really to write home about there. 2019, N'Keal Harry.
Boo.
Damian Harris, decent pick.
Was it? Even that didn't really pan out too much.
No, but he
stuck around
semi-productive,
for a while.
And yeah, he had a couple of good seasons.
Not as good as I thought he was going to be.
Got a couple of offensive linemen in Yadni Kajust and Yelda Froholt, who are both long gone.
Yep.
Jarrett Stidham was drafted that year.
He can spin it. He's still, you know, big win yesterday for the Broncos.
Yes, he did. He didn't play in it, but
he celebrated.
He was there. 2020, mostly all defense to start that draft with Duggar, Uche, and Jennings. And he had the two tight ends, Asiasi, Dalton Keene.
Nada. Boo.
Was waiting for another boo there. Mike Onwenu, who may be the best draft pick on offense you've had in the last 5 years. Justin Heron, who's long gone. And Dustin Woodard, a center in the seventh round. 2021, Mac Jones.
Boo.
Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, well.
Better.
Hold on to the damn ball.
It's, on this list, it's a grand slam.
Hold on to the ball.
Ramondre Stevenson, okay. And you had William Sherman, a lineman out of Colorado, who I think didn't make it out of camp. 2022, Cole Strange, your first
boo
round pick. Tyquan Thornton in the second round.
We'll see.
No, I think you can boo that one.
Boo already? He's still on the team. I feel bad. He might be listening.
Maybe. I mean, come on. And you know what? Actually, throwing deep to him and drawing those the pass interference, the most production he's
maybe
had.
Maybe we should throw deep a little more.
In a while. You should keep doing that. Let's see. Pierre Strong, the running back, whatever. Bailey Zappi out the door. Kevin Harris on the practice squad. And Andrew Stuber, seventh-round offensive lineman. They always get these linemen in the seventh round.
That everybody thinks are going to be the second coming of something, and they're the first right coming of going home.
And then, of course, there was last year's draft, which had Jake Andrews, Chad Ryland, gone, City So, hurt. Antonio Maffey is around. What's Maffey? Is he hurt? I haven't seen much of him.
No, he's not active.
Yeah, I haven't seen him at all. Kayshon Booty, nothing really. Pop Douglas is giving you something, but the jury's still out on him. And that's it. I mean, really, that's it. You had a bunch of draft picks in the offensive line here in this past draft. We'll see if any of them end up panning out. So far, May hasn't played. Polk's been fine. Wallace and Robinson, I don't know. Baker's not getting on the field. And Joe Milton, I don't know about him either. So it's like, this is it. This is the reason why you don't want to put Drake May on the field. Because you didn't draft well at the positions that could be either A, protecting him from oncoming pass rushers, or B, catching passes from him and, I don't know, making a play and scoring a touchdown. Like, that's the reason why you're hesitant to put him out there. It's because the team around him sucks.
It's a zero-star recruiting class. Like, literally, Ramondre Stevenson.
Other than Onwenu, maybe.
But he's not a star. How many Pro Bowls he been to?
Onwenu, does he have any?
No.
No, okay.
That's my point. So, like, he's good, and I'm glad you re-signed him, and I think he's your best lineman, but he's not a star. So they have zero star. The closest thing you have to a star, I think, is Ramondre, and the fumbles are a bit of an issue, and it's about doing it consistent. If you're going to be a star, okay, put up 1,200 yards rushing and 400 yards receiving,
yep,
or whatever it is. Like, take it to the next level, especially now that you've gotten a contract. So, yeah, it's a zero-star offensive draft class going back to, well, first of all, who's the last star they drafted offensively?
The last star they
Joe
drafted
Tooney?
Offensively. It could be Tooney. It could be, I don't know, James White.
James White, Gronk. I feel like we're going back forever. Guys that are retired doing podcasts.
Tooney might be, that might be a good answer, I think, Tooney. He's still out there playing at a high level.
I'd say at a high level. He never gets hurt. Takes every snap. But
position player, like a skill position player, I have no idea. I mean, really, Gronk, you might be right there. At wide receiver, I don't think they're at Deion Branch. You know?
Oh, Deion, yeah.
You got to go way back for that.
That's 2002.
Yeah.
That's 22 years ago.
It's the last time you drafted a good wide receiver.
Holy.
Well, man. Malcolm Mitchell was good and he got hurt, but still, you get the gist.
But it wasn't a good draft pick because the part of the reason you drafted him there is because he had a bad knee and everybody knew it.
Right.
And then the bad knee ended up derailing his career.
Yeah.
So he wasn't really a great pick.
No, he wasn't. They haven't had many of those.
Think of it.
Yeah.
It is bad.
It's bad.
And it's bad, too, where it's everything. The linemen, bad picks.
Yep.
For the most part. The receivers, the tight ends, like, none of them hit. You screwed up. You tried to get a first-round draft pick as a running back. Nope. Didn't work. He was not a first-round running back. You could say you might have liked.
Yeah. No, he wasn't even the best running back in his college
team. Right.
Yeah.
So you've blown left tackle. You've blown guard. You've blown wide receiver. You've blown tight end. You've blown running back. You've blown quarterback. You've blown every position.
Busy couple of years, right?
Relax. No, I'm being serious, though. Like,
I know.
So don't tell me there was a hole in his swing for receivers. Well, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But the hole also included tight ends and running backs and quarterbacks.
And like offensive linemen, yeah.
You couldn't draft offense.
Nope.
You know what we got now, though?
This is the result. This is why you can't put Drake May on the field.
Christian Gonzalez.
Yes.
That's your best star draft pick, fingers crossed, that you're building around. Young star player.
Yeah.
And Drake May.
I'd say Barmore, too, if he wasn't, you know, out.
Yeah, but even he's out.
He's out.
Like, there's even like a little asterisk next to him now because, I mean, I know
might
nothing.
Might end up being a big one.
I know nothing about blood clots. I have no idea. I know David Andrews went through it and he came back. I'm assuming Barmore is going to be back at some time, but I'm not a doctor. I really have no idea what that means.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones, talk to our good friend Steve in Fall River. Hi, Steve.
How are you? I think over the last 5 years, I've talked to Andy more than you, Christian, Lucky Andy.
Yeah.
And I think I wore people out because I do wear people out. They tell me it's the same old thing. But what's the same old thing I kept telling you people about? The draft. The draft. Okay, Steve, everybody has a draft, but I want to play a little game. I want to play a little game here. If you at home called in Sports Talk Radio, if you're a host and you said to me, or counting me by saying, well, everybody misses on the draft, please open your car door, slam your hand in it. If you said to me, well, they always pick high in the draft, and they always do good, and they can only in the bottom of the first round, open the door and slam your hand. If you said to me, well, they do good in some areas, but they only got a hole in the wide receiver, open the door
and slam your hand.
That was the proverbial radio version of slamming your hand. You're gone. What was his point?
I don't know, but I liked it. It was like
did people say that to him recently?
When he's like, when I say open the door, y'all say slam your hand.
Like, one of those old school
call and response thing going on there is what it seemed like.
Except nobody was responding.
It's like I was at a De La Soul concert there for a second. Anyway.
But I don't think anybody said those things over the last 5-6 years. I feel like there was definitely some of those things said in the transition from the back end of the dynasty the back end of the, they're always picking near the bottom or it's wide receiver, but in the trenches, he does a good job. And there were, we definitely missed on Shaq Mason.
We missed Julian Edelman, too. I mean, he skipped over there. Wide receiver,
Julian Edelman, I don't know how much, they didn't know what he was going to be. And as he himself said, all it took for him to get a shot was one guy leaving in free agency because he hated Bill, another guy murdering people, and another guy to tear his groin. Three people had to go down. They had three people they liked more than Julian Edelman. So don't tell me they drafted Julian Edelman to be a star. They kind of lucked into that. And you know who knows that? The head of the Games with Names podcast, Julian Edelman.
Yeah, I was going to say, he admitted it himself.
Thank you. I mean... Can we just call a spade a spade?
Yes, although he did impress. Like, he was good. Remember that whole thing with Wes Welker when he went in and played and they were like, remember Lou Gehrig or whatever the guy's name is?
Yeah, but the guy this summer did it and people wanted him to stay and I don't even remember his damn name.
What guy?
The little white guy that came in the preseason and had a couple returns and people like Zoe were like, this guy's Willis?
Oh, David Wallace.
Wallace.
David Wallace,
like,
that's right.
That happens every summer. They don't always stick around and actually it took... What Edelman said, three guys that they had to go through first before, okay, Edelman, you get your shot. And then they come up smelling roses, and he turns into one of the clutchest postseason performers in the history of the sport.
Yeah, that is what happened. 617-779-7937. I don't even know if I should take this call.
Why?
Chuck's in Beverly with a thought on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Chuck.
Yes, Chuck, you're on.
Okay, great. I want to be very short about it. This is the end of the season for the Red Sox.
And I'm sure, you know, people like Will Fleming are going to say if they, you know, talk about meaningless games and, you know, that or spoilers or something like that, but which they really can't do because they're just playing the Blue Jays in the Rays. But anyway, these last six games are very important, not just to try to get in. They still have a shot at the third wild card, but they also have a shot at having a 500 season, which means they have to win three games or more. You know what I mean? I think
why
four
is that,
games
Chuck,
would make
why is
it
that
in.
Really important that they have a 500 season?
So snarky jerks like Will Fleming wants to say, they have a shot at actually being the last in the division also.
I see. Okay, thanks, Chuck. A lot of shots at Will Fleming there.
Yeah.
And very, just
seemingly
angry.
Unwarranted.
I didn't
know. Snarky jerk? I feel like Will is very supportive of the Red Sox.
I think so,
general.
Too. Yeah, I don't know.
And optimistic at times when some of the rest of us are not.
I don't hear a lot of Will Fleming hate. That was the first Will Fleming hate phone call. Yeah. Honestly, you should wear that as a badge of honor.
Seems misplaced.
Hey, whatever. You know, if they don't hate you, then something's wrong. Someone's got to hate you.
I don't know if that's how that works.
I don't know. Like, who hates Joe Castiglione? Does anybody
hate
Joe Castiglione?
Nobody. We've talked about this. Does. Joe Castiglione and Mike Gorman.
And Gorman, yeah. And,
it's actually a badge of honor that you're a Hall of Famer.
Right, yeah. I mean, people hated Jack. It was definitely other opposing fans hated Jack.
Right. People but hate you. People hate me. I don't know that that's good.
Me. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So,
I don't know. Could be worse. 617-779-7937. Let's take one more call here before the break. Matt is in Rhode Island. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just on Jerry Jones being the GM, I just think it's funny that he gave all the money to Dax and the receiver, CeeDee Lamb. If you guys remember that like playoff game against Green Bay where they just basically, right in the first drive, they basically were at each other's throat. Like, they basically gave up. I don't know why that's going to work, but Do you think Bill Belichick did, no coach has ever taken over midseason? So you see the Cowboys, Philly, and I really would like to see him go to the Jets, but do you think that could ever happen?
Yeah, Matt, you must have missed the Bill watch because we discussed
it. Was awesome.
We discussed this during Bill watch.
Slow motion Bill watch.
Yeah, slow motion.
Has it never happened?
What?
A coach has never taken over midseason?
No, that's happened.
I feel like it has.
I mean, it's usually interim coaches.
It's usually right? people that
it's
are there
people
that
on
get
the
bumped
staff,
up,
get,
and then they keep it.
Right, yeah.
And then usually the team regrets it and fires that guy in a year or two.
Yeah, when's the last time? Oh, how about Jeff Saturday? Right? Jeff Saturday was working. He wasn't part of that team.
No, has there never been an example of a out-of-work coach taking over a team in season?
I guess Saturday wasn't a coach at the time. Yeah,
like it happens in other sports. Guy. It happens in baseball, happens in basketball. I'm assuming it happens in hockey. I can't necessarily think of it happening. And who else would you rather have it happen to than the greatest coach of all time? It takes special circumstances for these things to happen.
Yeah, that's
He's
true.
A GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
Although, Matt, thank you for bringing that to my attention, that it's never happened.
Yeah, no.
Bill Watch.
Yes. I can't believe he missed that. Matt, you got to go back on the Odyssey app, the rewind feature.
Yeah, if you missed Bill Watch.
It was awesome.
It happened today at 3, in the 3 o'clock hour. I forget exactly what time. But it was magical in the production. My God. I mean,
awesome.
Bill Watch.
It doesn't really get too much better than that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The Kansas City Chiefs won again. They beat the Falcons. They're the new Patriots. They just keep on winning. We'll get to that with your phone calls next.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Cousins. Robinson. Stopped in the backfield by Bolton. Injured earlier in this half. Missed some snaps in the fourth. Bolton comes up with the big play.
Championship teams have championship players, and Nick Bolton's been doing this all night long, sitting behind the line of scrimmage, deciphering what's going on, and when everything's on the line, getting across the line of scrimmage, shooting the gap, and beating the running back there. A fantastic game tonight by Nick Bolton.
Kansas City Chiefs knocked off the Falcons last night. I thought for sure the Falcons were going to cover. I had a terrible week betting. I had a horrible, horrible week. That was one of my many losses on the weekend. Unlike the Midday Show, who has this like 5-part touchdown parlay that none of them actually even bet.
They're making money over there.
Yeah.
If they bet.
Which they didn't even do. I mean,
which, if they're not going to be literally invested in their own segment, then why should I be?
That's a good point. You know?
Right? As a listener, put your money where your mouth is. I'm not saying you got to put like a boatload on it.
Right. And I heard that the cash out right now is like $500 and a $10 bet. Hit that cash out.
Yeah.
That's what I would
say. That's what I said. 100%. Jones is like, no, you wait for the big one. I'm like, hell no. Jones, you
dummy.
500, that's a good amount of money. That's,
yeah, but if you're, in it for, if you're in it for a penny, you're in it for a pound. Let's go.
Right, but then you get to $500.
Bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I'll out-cliche you any day.
I haven't got close to even a cash out like that, let alone win one of these things recently. I've been getting killed.
Quick update thanks to the text line.
Yes.
Because my buddy Paul Perillo texted in, and he was no help at all. He's like, Arkin just told you. Saturday did it with the Colts. Not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a former head coach who wasn't on staff and took over a team mid-season.
Okay. Yeah.
A Hall of Famer did it. His name was Don Air Coryell. He was fired by the, I believe, Rams or Cardinals, sorry, the 1977. He was out of work to start the 1978 season. Mm-hmm. He was living in San Diego coaching the San Diego State alumni team.
Wow.
I don't know what that is. And four games into the season, he took over the Chargers.
Okay.
So that's kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Right? Bill's kind of out of work
because
it said Coryell moved back to San Diego after apparently missing out on head coaching posts coming into the season. Bill Belichick missed out on posts coming into the season. Four games in, boom, Jerry Jones gets out McCarthy, brings in Belichick. Hall of Fame coach takes over, settles whatever's going on with CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, loves coaching Micah Parsons, and the Cowboys will be a stable Super Bowl contender.
Yeah. Unless it's not the coaching that's the problem. I mean, it could be that, you know.
Well, part of it is the coaching.
Part
of it is the coaching. We'll and see. Great minds think alike. Brandon Spikes, former Patriots linebacker, posted a picture on his Twitter account very, very short hours ago that had Bill Belichick, you know, with his chest held high and a Cowboys logo on his chest. So we're all thinking the same thing. Big BB going to Big D.
Yeah. Brandon Spikes, who was a big part of the Netflix Aaron Hernandez documentary.
Oh, he kicked his ass.
He was all over
the place. He was his welcome to Florida moment. He kicked his ass in, like, the first practice.
No, I'm not talking about the one on FX.
Oh.
The Netflix one.
Oh, yeah.
The, like, the deep dive into the...
Oh, that was the one with, like, the wrestling mat things where they beat the snot out of each other.
Yeah.
And they
talked to, like, the guy whose name escapes me now. Odin Lloyd's friends.
Yeah.
And all that. Like, he was in that a lot. And did you notice he had this, like, weird headscarf? Remember that?
Brandon Godshaw-esque?
Yeah, Brandon Spikes. He looked like Erykah Badu, kind of. Like, he had this, like, weird thing going on. And he was very... And considering what those guys were doing in Florida, I think he was doing it to sort of soften his image a little bit. I think it was a little bit of that. But,
not a terrible idea.
It was interesting. It was an interesting look for him. But he made it work. I'll give you that. Brandon Spikes made that look work.
I liked him.
I liked him, too.
I was a fan of his, outdated playing style to some degree. Like, he was just going to run forward and...
Big plotting, run-stuffing linebacker. Yeah. You don't see a lot of
those. But if a guard or a running back moved sort of in his frame of vision, he was going to hit it. And I appreciated that.
Yeah. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Brandon's in Boston. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Thanks
for taking my phone call. So, you know, it's not a good, excited season when you're seeing the Patriots. You know, I want to talk about Justin Fields for a little bit because they should have been in the run for him. I thought they would actually get him, but Justin Fields went for 11th round pick. Matt Jones went for 15th, so you mean to tell me you couldn't make up some type of trade to get him here? But so far, Justin Fields is 3-0. He has 518 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, 90 rushing yards, and he's converted a touchdown with that. Sacked 6 times. Now, let's talk about Jacoby. Jacoby was sacked 9 times. He rushed for 38 yards. He threw for 368 yards.
All right, thanks, Brandon. We don't need the box score. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I see what you're getting at. And I think that when it comes to that type of move, I was for it if you weren't going to draft a quarterback. If you're going to draft a quarterback, I didn't think going after Justin Fields made a ton of sense. But if you weren't, if you were going to go with Marvin Harrison or you're going to go with one of the other the tackles or one of the other wide receivers there at that third overall pick, I was okay with that idea. I was okay with the idea of either one of those Steelers quarterbacks being the Patriots quarterback for a bridge season or two, and then when you built up your offense a little bit, then you draft your quarterback, and hopefully in those 2 seasons you have something to watch. Like, I felt like Fields here or Wilson here with Harrison, either one of those two combinations would have given you something to watch. You wouldn't have been good. You might not have even broke 500, but it would have been something to watch. And then you build up an offense. You put an offensive line together that's better than this, hopefully. You have some wide receivers who are young and kind of come into their own and become, you would think, after 2 years, something that you can rely on for a new quarterback. That you would then give your rookie quarterback over to that offense and say, look, we have Marvin Harrison year three here for you. And we have, you know, this, that, whatever. We have these other things in place. And now you can take over the offense. You don't have that. Instead, you have the opposite of that. You have a quarterback who you're afraid to put on the field because your offense is so bad.
Yes, but you may have a star quarterback. We can't forget that. Those of us that are optimists, that are maniacs, that are Drake May fans, believe you drafted a special quarterback. If you believe Robert Kraft, there were three quarterbacks available. The one they wanted fell to them at number three. Mm-hmm. He is the Jason Tatum of quarterbacks. I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know where you are on Jason Tatum these days. I know where I am, and I hope he's better than Jason Tatum.
Are we talking Jason Tatum in the Olympics or Jason Tatum?
Are we talking Jason Tatum that can't shoot anymore? Are we talking Jason Tatum that won a title? You know who agrees with, is that Brandon?
Brandon in Boston.
This is a quote from somebody, and I want you to tell me who said this.
Okay.
Pittsburgh might have the best quarterback situation in the league. You have an experienced guy behind Justin Fields if you need him.
Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Really?
That was
a wild, kind of a wild guess, but
tweeted
okay.
out by the Pat McAfee show. He did his appearance on the McAfee show today.
I was going to say, I thought you said Belichick's on Twitter now. That'd be fun.
No. And they did sort of a whole rundown of the various things he said, and he said Pittsburgh might have the best quarterback situation in the league. And guess what? I could not disagree more. I think they have a terrible situation.
I don't think it's terrible, but I wouldn't call it the best in the league.
They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
You want to bet?
Justin Fields is a quarterback in the league. He may not be great, but he's
doing enough for that team. They'll feel great about their quarterback situation.
I think if Fields goes down with an injury, if he keeps winning, they got to put him in. If there comes a time where they have to put Russell Wilson in, would you rather put Russell Wilson in or Jacoby Brissett? I mean, that's
Drake
not even
May.
Close.
It's not fair. My backup quarterback's Drake May.
I'm talking
May.
About the veteran on the team. Like, he's your veteran right now. And he's
Drake May.
He was injured. So let's say Brissett was injured and May was starting all these games. Something happens to May, you have to put Brissett in. I'd much rather have Russell Wilson on the bench to put
I'll take
in.
Drake May over all three of those guys. Brissett, Fields, and Russell Wilson.
Okay, fair.
I like him, and
we'll
he's
see,
the future.
We'll see if he
and
can
he,
actually play.
Unlike those three guys, he will be employed by his current team in 3 years.
Who does have the best quarterback situation in the league if it's not the Steelers?
The Chiefs.
Chiefs, I mean, obviously they have the best starter.
I just think the number one lifts everything else that they have. Plus, they got Bailey Zappe ready to go in at the drop of a hat. And they got Carson Wentz, a former MVP candidate.
Well, you really sold me there with Bailey Zappe. I mean, come on. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, the final hour of the program. Do we have a little bonus baseball today? I think we do, right? Red Sox and the Blue Jays. When's that game even start?
7:05? 7:07.
7:07.
It's Toronto.
Toronto with their weird clocks. Yeah, okay. So we'll do, like, I don't know, an extra 3 minutes or something. Maybe even that. I don't know. But, yeah, that's all coming up here in the final hour. We will reset also on some things Gerard Mayo had to say this morning. We'll recap the week that was in the NFL. Not very good. And we'll look ahead to these two games tonight on Monday Night Football. It's all coming up next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.